We limit what we do because we limit ourselves. And God has an ambition for each one of us, which we may find difficult to attain. Do we still hold on to hope, whether that hope is for ourselves or for others? Something might seem impossible to us, and we might remember the story of the rich man and being told that it was nearly as impossible for a rich man to enter heaven as a camel through the eye of a needle. And the disciples asked Jesus, "Who then can be saved?" And he replied, "For mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible." God does the impossible if we turn to him, if we reach out to him, if we seek to touch him. And that desire to touch is a raw human need and response. We know this in our own lives. We know how touch can be both precious and be misused. And in the gospel account today, we hear how the woman said, "If only I touch his cloak." Elsewhere, we know that Jesus touched the blind man. He touched children to give blessing. He touched the leper, Peter's mother. He touched and healed the servant's ear. And touch is also for comfort. The alarmed disciples at the Transfiguration, Jesus touched them to assure them of his place with them. Jesus knew the value of touch to bring comfort, to bring healing, to bring wholeness, and to make alive. In our own society, we perhaps have realized the value of touch by the fact that we have been unable to touch, to shake hands, to hug one another as we would so dearly love to do. And I'm reminded, as it is the 60th anniversary on the 1st of July of the birthday of Princess Diana, how tactile a person she was. She would hold, she would touch the AIDS sufferers, the landmine victims. She would reach out to people to give them comfort. She had no fear in her touching. And that touch is a desire for giving and receiving love and wholeness. It distresses. The social anthropologists will tell us that our level of stress is significantly reduced if we receive a hug, or indeed offer a hug. We need, we are wired as humans for contact. And it's over this last year that we have been denied this human interaction. Is it a surprise that the levels of stress in society have increased significantly? So if it's important to reach out and hug and touch one another, how much more important is it to reach out to God? To receive from him that mending, that healing of whatever is broken in our lives. For this sense of wholeness is to be made complete. And the same word is used in the Greek for both healing and salvation. The healing of our bodies and the healing of our spirits. And in our readings today, we see how this wholeness covers the areas of the physical, of healing from disease, the dying child who was brought, in a sense, before Jesus by her father, of the bleeding woman who brought herself before Jesus seeking healing, welfare, and recovery. In our epistle, we hear of the material support being given to the church in Jerusalem by the other churches who were sharing of their abundance at the time of need of another. And that's part of that healing that we can offer in society, reaching out to those who are suffering, those who are not able to survive because they have so little. And over this last year or so, perhaps we've become again all the more aware of the needs in our society around us and how with our abundance we could offer to meet the needs of others. And then as well as the physical and the material, there is that healing of our spirit. That salvation which we receive through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace. We receive that spiritual healing, that spiritual salvation. And so our story from our account from the gospel this morning gives us the two examples. The dying girl's father, Jairus, bringing to Jesus the needs of his daughter and the desperately sick woman. What did you notice in that story this morning? As you perhaps play it back in your mind. Were you there in the bustling crowd that was jostling around Jesus? Did you notice the humbled leader of the synagogue who came and knelt before Jesus and said, "Save my child"? Did you notice the lonely woman there on the edge of the crowd who was very hesitant about being seen? Because, of course, she was an outcast. She was suffering this bleeding, which made her unclean. Do we notice the outcasts in our society? Perhaps you were amongst the anxious disciples who were worried for Jesus with all this jostling that was happening around him and being concerned that he might be overtaken by the crowd. And did you hear Jesus speaking in response to the woman? "Who touched me?" he said. And when the woman came forward, he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And so he then continued on his way to Jairus' house. And of course, what do we then see? We see the crowd running, saying, "It's too late. She's died." But Jesus continues. He takes Peter, James, and John with him, and they go in. He dispels the crowd of mourners who have gathered already at the house. And he goes in with his disciples, with the mother and the father, to the child. And he says, "Little girl, get up." And then he cared for her physical needs too by saying, "Give her something to eat." So in these two acts of healing, we have the focused healing that is sought by the Father. Healing, recovery from, he thought, death of his daughter. Certainly seriously ill. Jesus, of course, need not have gone. He could have said that she was healed, as he did elsewhere on other occasions. He could just have given that word of healing. But he wanted to demonstrate his compassion and the compassion of the Father. And he had the opportunity, of course, to say to Jairus, "Do not fear. Only believe." When he saw the crowd returning, he thought his daughter had indeed died, but she was restored to life and health by Jesus' touch. For the woman, she had a long-term illness. Interesting, the young girl was 12 years old and the woman had had this illness for 12 years. We don't know whether there was any implication of that apart from thinking, well, 12 years indicates a long period, a period perhaps of completeness, that without God's intervention, there would have been a worldly finality. But Jesus, as in so much of his ministry, turned the expected upside down. How do we reach out to God? How can you, picturing yourself in those same circumstances of so desiring that healing from Jesus, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, whether it's material, how do we reach out to God for ourselves and, of course, for others? It is in our prayers that we come before God. It's in our time of communion together. And whilst we currently are adopting the practice of going round and bringing bread and wine to you, we are still sharing together with the presence of Jesus with us. We are reaching out to God in our worship, with which we are being led in our singing, through our reading, through our sharing in the liturgy together. And we reach out to God through our psalms. It's been our practice now over many weeks to read the psalm of the day. And some of these psalms are what are called laments. A lament is where we cry out to God. I don't know whether you've tried it, but in your darkest moments, why not sit down with a pen and paper and write that lament, your feelings, your heartfelt anxieties. Put them down before God. And then there's that opportunity to share in Christian conversation, to reach out to one another and to offer another one to God. And we receive that touch from God through the channel of his grace. We're going to hear a song shortly that reminds us that Jesus is here, standing in our midst, that Jesus has the power to heal now and the grace to forgive. Is that healing, that being made whole, instant? It might be. After all, our salvation has come once for all through the death of Jesus. We have been forgiven once and immediately on accepting Jesus as our Saviour. But it can also be ongoing. There may need to be a period of healing, of being made whole. And I urge you to respond in faith to that opportunity to reach out to God, to respond to the call from your Saviour. Because for by grace, as Paul writes in Ephesians, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. So be convinced, like Jairus and the woman, to reach out to receive healing for yourself, for others who you love and care for our community and for our world. At the end of the service, if you wish to come for a moment of quiet prayer up at the east table, I shall be there and will pray with you if that would be helpful. But let's now just take a moment to listen to this song. And perhaps you may join in quietly as the words come up on the screen as we hear the declaration, I believe in Jesus.
I believe in Jesus. Standing in our midst.